Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Yes, shout out to all the dogs out there, and happy, happy Friday. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now listening to WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to get to on today's current sports. You know what's kind of coming though, right? We've got to talk about last night's game one of the NBA Finals. Dub Nation, the Warriors taking game one out in Golden State. The Cavaliers putting up quite a fight, I must say, in the first half. But as the game went along, the Cavs slowly but surely fizzled away. So we'll talk about what went wrong for the Cavs and whether or not this series will be competitive as it trucks along. We will also talk about a major death when it comes to the Detroit Pistons family. You'll find out who that name is. And also, got to tell you, folks, coming around the 1:30 mark, of course, each and every Friday, we have the swap meet with James Moore. Moore, of course, a former MSU football great, played fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. Moore is the founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign, which, of course, aims to help today's youth and be involved philanthropically here in mid-Michigan and beyond. James, a motivational speaker in his own right. This segment, of course, designed to attack social issues that concern today's youth and beyond, and topical issues that we see in today's sporting news. James Moore will join me on the air to talk about the Tiger Woods situation, and he'll explain why we need to be sympathetic when we see someone like Tiger struggling the way he is. And James will reveal a bit of himself during that segment. Trust me. Trust me, you do not want to miss it, folks. On the back end of the show, we will preview a bit the weekend series between the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers, and we will have Reflection Friday for you. As you see, our plate runneth over. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We begin with local high school football news for you. Fowlerville High School will have a new face manning the football sidelines come this fall. The school announced yesterday that John Fletcher, a 2009 Fowlerville grad, will take the reins as head coach. After 7 years in various roles at Hazlitt and one season as the JV coach at Fowlerville, the 26-year-old, yeah, 26, very young, he will now be in charge of his own program. Fletcher's thoughts on the hiring, quote, "It's always been a goal of mine since I graduated high school. I got into coaching because I didn't want to say goodbye to the game. I fell in love with coaching. It's the next best thing to playing. I'm happy to lead my first program and excited to do it for Fowlerville." How about that? Congratulations, John Fletcher. Look forward to seeing how you do in your first year at the helm. All right, the Cinderella story that was the Lansing Community College baseball team World Series run has sadly come to an end. The Stars fell 9-2 to Mercer County last night, ending their title hopes. Playing in their sixth game in as many days, LCC fell apart in the seventh inning. Yeah, and 11 Mercer County players came to the plate in that inning, and a one-run game turned into a complete blowout. Despite the loss, though, first-year skipper Andrew Hewitt had nothing but praise for his team that finished 39-16 on the year. Pretty impressive stuff. Hewitt said, quote, "I don't really have the words to say about this group. They are a class act, hardworking. I couldn't be more proud of their achievements on and off the field. It will be hard to say goodbye," end quote. Brian Bowen tweeted that he will announce his college choice on Twitter at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Get those smartphones ready. The Saginaw native and five-star basketball recruit listed Michigan State among his five finalists back in February. Texas, Creighton, Arizona, and North Carolina State are among his top choices. However, a number of schools reportedly have made late pushes, including Louisville, Patino, Oregon, DePaul, and Florida State in recent weeks. Now, the Spartans appear to be probably out of the picture for Bowen after he visited Louisville earlier this week and enrolled, according to the Louisville Courier-Journal. So if it's being reported that he enrolled, Patino may have that talent under his wing right now. Now, Michigan State coach Tom Izzo began recruiting Bowen, again a 6'7" swingman, before he started his first 2 years of high school playing for Saginaw Arthur Hill. The McDonald's All-American spent his last 2 years at La Lumiere School in Indiana. Now, Bowen is ranked number 13th nationally in the class of 2017, according to ESPN.com, the highest-rated uncommitted player remaining in its top 100 poll. He is number 18, according to 247sports.com and scout.com, and number 20 by Rivals. The Michigan football coaches kicked off their satellite camp tour this morning at Mercer University. That's right, Jim Harbaugh, folks. Harbaugh's second camp of the day is scheduled at John Carroll University in University Heights, Ohio, beginning at 7 p.m. tonight, where the rest of his coaching staff is waiting to work. Now, Harbaugh was joined by linebackers coach and recruiting guru Chris Partridge, defensive coordinator Don Brown, tackles and tight ends coach Greg Frey, running backs coach Jay Harbaugh, and safeties coach Brian Smith. Coaches from at least a dozen others are coaching there as well. Tomorrow morning, the camp will be held at Sam Houston State in Huntsville, Texas. And at night, the camp will move to Bowie State University in Maryland. All right, the Chicago White Sox come to town to duel out and duke it out with the Detroit Tigers. After a much-needed day off, the Tigers return to action tonight against division foe, the Chicago White Sox. Detroit, sitting 3.5 games in back of the AL Central lead, will send 5-3 righty Michael Fulmer to the hill. Fulmer turned in an impressive outing when these two teams faced off last weekend. Fulmer's final line read 8 innings pitched, 9 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks. The Tigers' offense, however, must have forgot they had a game to play. They were unable to play a single run. The Tigers fell 3-0. Run support has certainly been a bugaboo. The Tigers hitters have fared well against today's Shy Sox starter, Derek Holland, in the past. Miguel Cabrera, who the Tigers are desperately waiting to heat up, has 2 homers and 4 RBIs in 8 at-bats. Catcher John Hicks has 1 home run and 1 RBI as well. I don't know if you guys saw the footage of this, but it was insane in the membrane. What a duel. West Michigan Whitecaps pitcher Eduardo Jimenez was suspended 30 days, the most severe penalty from an altercation Sunday between the Whitecaps and the Dayton Dragons. The incident happened in the 6th inning. The two frontrunners in the Midwest League's Eastern Division Yeah, I really couldn't believe it watching it. Jimenez, a 22-year-old reliever, threw a ball at Dayton reliever Jesse Stallings' leg on the field at Dayton during a commotion. His suspension was in effect until Monday. Now, besides Jimenez, Whitecaps shortstop Danny Pinheiro was suspended 5 games beginning today, and pitcher Spencer Watkins received a 1-game suspension from the Dragons. Outfielder Jose Siri was suspended 3 games, and starting pitcher Wennington Romero 4 games. The suspensions were handed down yesterday by the Midwest League and announced by the respective teams. The Whitecaps went on to win 2-1 in 10 innings, if that's worth anything. The Whitecaps, 36-17, with the best record in the Midwest League, began a 10-game homestand today, beginning with a 3-game series against, yeah, you guessed it, the Lansing Lugnuts. They host Dayton for a 3-game series on June 9th. Hopefully that series is less chaotic. All right, last night's NBA Finals game one. The Golden State Warriors have taken game one of the NBA Finals, led by a phenomenal 38-point, 8-board, 8-assist performance from KD, Kevin Durant. The Warriors easily blew past Cleveland 113-91, the final of that game. Turnovers certainly hurt LeBron James and the Cavs last night. James, who finished with 28 points, 15 boards, 8 assists, also had 8 of the team's 20 turnovers. They had more turnovers than they had assists. 20 turnovers, 15 assists. That leads to an L against Golden State, folks. Yeah, the Warriors simply just look like a different animal in last night's contest. The duo of Durant and Steph Curry combined for 66 of the Warriors' 113. Yeah, and the boys just couldn't miss. The Cavs fans can take any silver lining, if they can take any silver lining out of this blowout. Yeah, the Cavs also dropped game one in last year's NBA Finals. 104-89, the final of that one. They actually dropped the first 2 games in Oakland. And as we all know, they came back to win in 7. We'll see if that storyline can play out this year. Clarissa Shields, the 22-year-old two-time Olympic gold medalist, has been nominated for the 2017 Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. Shields, a native of Flint, is in the running, for the, quote, biggest powerhouse, end quote, category. This category honors the heaviest hitters, strongest sluggers, and unstoppable players in sports this year. DeMarcus Cousins of Isaac's New Orleans Pelicans, Von Miller of the Denver Broncos, David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox, and Mike Trout of the LA Angels are also in consideration for her division. The main event is set for July 16th at 8 p.m. Shields is currently preparing for her June 16th fight in Detroit against Mary Rancier, in which she aims to remain undefeated. And sad news here, folks. As basketball fans around the world, of course, enjoyed game one of the NBA Finals last night, they simultaneously mourn the loss of a legend, especially those who are Detroit Pistons fans. Jack McCloskey, general manager of the Detroit Pistons from 79 to 92, and architect of the Bad Boys 2 NBA championship teams, passed away in Savannah, Georgia at the age of 91. McCloskey, nicknamed Trader Jack for his many astute trades during his tenure as the club's GM, assembled the Pistons teams, which brought 2 NBA championships to the D in 89 and in 90. His teams made 9 straight playoff appearances, 5 straight trips to the Eastern Conference Finals, 3 NBA Finals appearances, and again, 2 championships. He will certainly be missed, and we right now pay homage to the great Jack McCloskey.
It's a really sad day for our Piston family and, you know, anyone in the basketball family, in the basketball community. I spoke to Lambeer earlier, and we just kind of, you know, smiled and, you know, just reminisced about Jack. And Lambeer said, you know, Jack was one of the most competitive people that he knew, and he drafted people of like kind. And, you know, he put competitive people on our team.
During his more than 40 years in basketball as a player, coach, and executive, Jack McCloskey won respect at every stop with his strong personality and drive to succeed.
I tell you, he's one of the most competitive, intense men I've ever met in my life. His intensity level was so high, and it spoke to his competitiveness. That's all part of his DNA. When he got a chance to go to Detroit and start working there, I knew what kind of team that was going to be there. and he assembled a team that, to me, was exactly like his personality.
Known as Trader Jack, McCloskey had a sharp eye for talent. As general manager of the Detroit Pistons for 13 years, he was responsible for building a powerhouse team that won back-to-back NBA championships.
He was a fiery competitor himself. He liked athletes, but he wanted the character of competitiveness. He wanted people that would go out there when the ball was thrown up saying, you're not going to win the game, we are. And that's how he built that team.
Jack was the fierce competitor that permeated the whole organization.
General manager Jack McCloskey, by the big role of putting this team together.
I think maybe one of the happiest moments in my life, even though it was against the Lakers, was to see him win. I know how much he loved winning.
The Pistons are champions of the world, and the Motor City still reigns supreme.
For him, kind of the culmination of his career as a coach, but also an executive, I was thrilled for him personally.
The best general manager in the NBA.
Yes, and that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Jack McCloskey, man, is he a name that certainly reigns supreme when it comes to discussing the Detroit Pistons franchise? I tell you what, the dude lived a good life. I mean, 91? That's a full life. I hope I'm blessed to get to 91, all right? And even though he passed Thursday, a lot of people kind of saw it coming. You know, McCloskey, he was battling Alzheimer's disease. And, I wanted to play at the very beginning of that intro the immediate reaction of Isaiah Thomas, who, of course, is covering the NBA Finals with NBA TV. And Isaiah, you got his immediate reaction to the news, how he talked with Bill Laimbeer and kind of just reminisced on that. Those glory years, I should say, in the late 80s with those Detroit Pistons teams. The bad boys era, right? McCloskey selecting a pair of future Hall of Famers in the first round with Isaiah Thomas back in 1981 and Joe Dumars in 1985. Then in 1986, he selected Georgia Tech's John Sally, the Spider, in the first round with the 11th overall pick. And then orchestrated Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman from Southeast Oklahoma State with the 27th pick. A lot of people don't even remember this. Dennis Rodman was the 27th pick in the second round of the NBA draft. So many slept on Dennis, but not McCloskey. Then he traded for Bill Laimbeer and Vinny the Microwave Johnson, both of whom, of course, have had their jerseys retired by the franchise. They just don't make GMs like Mr. Jack McCloskey anymore. Rest in peace, Jack. We want to get your thoughts and memories of the Bad Boys era and any memories that you have of Trader Jack. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Certainly a bittersweet day for basketball fans. You finish up game one of the NBA Finals and then we all woke up to this news, right? Great life lived, though. Great life lived. Let's talk about the NBA Finals now, shall we? I tell you what, it wasn't as fulfilling as we all thought it was going to be. Got to get that out there, right? I think that's stating the obvious when I say that. So much hype surrounded around the NBA Finals. A lot of it due to the fact that the rounds prior to leading up to the NBA Finals have been just a complete and utter snore fest. So now we get the three match, right, between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Game one, a 113-91 final. I must say, though, Isaac and I, we went to a local spot and checked it out. And a lot of great atmosphere in the air where we were at, people into the game, right, Isaac? And, you know, at halftime, it seemed like, okay, this is what we've been waiting on, right? We got a competitive series here. I think the second half, if the second half is going to be anything like the first, we are going to have something special on our hands here. But as the game went on, Golden State just kind of like took it to another level. Now, there's numerous reasons for this, Isaac. You know, and when we're looking at this, just to get a few things off my chest first, we all know the Cavs, if they want to compete in this series, they have to be better in game two. Again, I'm stating the obvious here. I'm preaching to the choir when I say this. But in what areas must they have to be better? Well, I tell you what, the Cavs have to limit fast breaks. Because left and right, time and time again, Golden State pushed the basketball. And I tell you what, on a few of those plays, especially Kevin Durant, there was one play. We're watching it, and you could see J.R. Smith. I don't know what J.R. was thinking on the break, but Kevin Durant is charging like a bull down the court. And they showed an angle where J.R. is kind of like, he had a chance to get in front of Durant to try and slow him down if he wanted to. But J.R. kind of like just like looks himself off and goes to the right and gives Durant the easiest slam dunk you could give a man. It looked like I was watching the NBA All-Star game and not game one of the NBA Finals. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, the reason Kevin Durant and others really kept getting wide open dunks is because looking back at a few of the highlights after the game, the Cavaliers, it seemed like the game plan was to really stick on the shooters and make sure that they don't get killed by the three-point line. And the moment they started clogging the lane, those shooters started to hit those shots. So it's like a no-win scenario. If you do focus on the shooters, you give up a lot of easy fast break buckets in the paint, and you give up a lot of easy layups, right? But if you start clogging the lane, well, you have the best shooter in all of basketball history and Steph Curry that can knock him down. Kevin Durant can shoot the three. I mean, it's Klay Thompson can shoot the three. Draymond Green could even shoot the three. I mean, there's so many shooters out there. Tristan Thompson, where in the world was Tristan Thompson last night? Tristan, do you notice the NBA Finals, right? I mean, my goodness. And you know what? The Cavaliers tried to limit Golden State on the offensive glass. You know, if you look at what the Cavs did, the Cavs tried that a bit, I should say. They did get eight offensive boards from, what, the duo of, what, like Tristan Thompson, I believe Kevin Love. 15 in total between the two, but it did not result in more offensive possessions, and that hurt. Now, if you look at Thompson, he had a 0.4 rebound game in 22 minutes. That simply would not cut it. You will lose every single time if you have one of your premier big men and Tristan Thompson putting up those lowly numbers. Crazy, right? Cleveland tried to play for a second this back and forth topsy turvy game that plays right into the hands of Golden State. You know, Golden State loves to get out on the run after a missed or made bucket for that matter, and they love to play fast paced because they have the personnel in order to execute quite well on the break. Cleveland, not so much their game. I think if Cleveland's going to have a shot here, they got to slow things down, pump the brakes a bit. I mean, we saw Isaac Iman Shumpert pull up with like, it was like 16 seconds on the shot clock. He pulls up on the break, and I'm like, what are you doing? Can you guys set up some offense now in his defense? It was wide open. If you're going to take it wide open, you got to make it. But if you want to play this back and forth fast break game, you are playing right into the hands of the Warriors. This is what they love to do. And you harped on the bench, Isaac. If there's going to be any advantage here, the bench for Cleveland has to play better. Richard Jefferson, 9 points. Dante Jones, 7 points. Those were all during moments where the game was clearly out of reach. Shump, 5. 0 from Kyle Korver, nothing from Darren Williams, nothing from Channing Frye, who was a did not play decision, right? But my gosh, that bench was horrible last night. And then, I got to attack the man, the myth, the legend, right? The man who's chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan, Mr. LeBron James. You got to be better, LeBron. 28 points, cool. 9 of 20 shooting, 15 boards, 8 assists, 2 blocks. On a normal day, that's a pretty good stat line, right? But even with a stat line like that, LeBron James has got to be better. I know that's asking it a lot from the brother, but that's the team you play on, man. And again, not knocking LeBron. I said at halftime, I thought LeBron played great. At the half, I'm sitting there saying, oh, yeah, LeBron, he brought his A game here. He's ready to ball. But as the game went along, you saw a lot of carelessness, I will say, from LeBron James. He had way too many turnovers. I believe, I remember listening to the broadcast, I believe Jeff Van Gundy said he had like 7 turnovers in the first half, or six or seven. Seven at the half, right? And I'm sitting there saying, no, you gotta protect the basketball, because we all know that, to steal a phrase from Tom Izzo, turnovers lead to touchdowns. And then to add on to that saying, when you're playing the Golden State Warriors especially, James has to be better. He's got to take care of the basketball. But, you know, and you look at things, when you really look at the details of this game, you know, the Cavs hit what? Only one fewer three-pointer than the Warriors, out-rebounded them by 9, shot more free throws, and they still come up this short? Just imagine if those specific areas turn around in favor of Golden State. It's scary to think about. It's really tough for me, Isaac, to sit here and say Cleveland has a shot at this thing after watching game one, even though it's just game one, a ton of room for improvement, but my goodness.
Well, and this goes two ways, because for one, we do know we're watching one of the greatest teams of all times, one of the greatest teams that ever played in the history of the NBA for a long period of time now.
For sure.
Golden State, you stack the seasons together, 67 wins. 2 years ago, 73 last year, 67 again this year. I mean, Golden State, let's face it, they're hard to beat no matter who you put on the other side of the court. However, Cleveland last night, and this is both encouraging and discouraging, they were culpable for their own demise. It's not to say Golden State didn't win that game and Cleveland lost it, but Cleveland helped them out. Kyle Korver, you brought up, 0 points. 0 of 3 from the 3-point range.
And he had some good looks. Good looks.
He had great looks. And all were in the first half. I mean, Cleveland went in, correct me if I'm wrong, I think down 8 at the half. If they're up 1, that's a different game. I mean, Golden State, yeah, they ran away with it, but it's a lot easier to gain momentum when you've got a decent lead as opposed to when it's a really tight game. LeBron James, you brought him up, the king. Well, the king looked like the prince, or maybe the king's son or something like that last night, because the thing is, he played second fiddle to Kevin Durant. As you mentioned,
yeah.
LeBron was good. LeBron needs to be great. LeBron was great last series. He had a GOAT-type performance last series. He had a GOAT-type performance 2 series ago when it was against Golden State in the 2015 finals. LeBron James did not do that last night because on defense, he was embarrassed by Kevin Durant on numerous occasions. On offense, he couldn't match him. That's the thing. It's okay if somebody blows by you once in a while. You make up for it on the other end. LeBron didn't do that. He didn't have that Mamba instinct, that Jordan instinct last night.
But this he never does, game. Though. He never
no,
does.
It's not. Yeah. But the thing is, he usually makes up for it on the other end of the quarter, makes plays for his teammates. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when your teammates are not hitting, that is on you to take over, take the game in the palm of your hand, and then just run away with it. LeBron James did not do that last night. Now, the thing is, this isn't the end-all, be-all for the Cavs.
No.
I expected them to lose this game. They lost last year, game one, by 15 points. This was a 22-point game. Not that much of a difference. So this can still go either way. But the thing is, Cleveland, there's a lot to fix, most notably, as you mentioned and highlighted, on the defensive end. Because as bad as J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson all were offensively, defensively, it was twice as much of a problem. And the reason why is because Golden State, they're going to hit tough shots no matter what. But if you let them get in the fast break, if you let them dictate the tone of the game, then there's no stopping them, and you are not going to outscore the Golden State Warriors.
No, and that's another thing. And I keep hearing this a lot, too. Yeah, they lost game one last year. Well, folks, this is a different team this year. This team has Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant looked like in a complete groove last night. That's the big difference here. Yeah, and they came back 3-1, but this is a Golden State Warriors team that did not have a man by the name of Kevin Durant on the basketball court. And, you know, and I can't remember how, if you know, when you look at the bench for Cleveland, I don't remember in last year's game one if the numbers were that bad. I mean, there's got to be stuff to build on. There's a lot to build on here, but positive things to build on that you say, okay, if the Cavs keep doing that, they can really make this a series. We'll see what happens, but gosh, they looked bad last night. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Later on this hour, I'll get to a few other takeaways that really have nothing to do with the X's and O's of last night's game. But Rihanna, she made numerous cameos during last night's game, and social media blew up when it came to that. And there were just a lot of cool moments that happened away from the game. I saw that Russell Westbrook let it be known to everybody that, hey, I'm not even watching the NBA Finals, even though that my former teammate Kevin Durant is playing in it. I am watching Whoopi Goldberg's classic, Sister Act 2. That's all you saw on Russell Westbrook's social media pages. He's sitting on the couch singing just about every song. By the way, I love Sister Act 2. It's a great, great movie. But he's like singing along to every song in Sister Act 2. I thought that was pretty cool. Mean tweets, Jimmy Kimmel, very cool stuff. We'll play that later on. I thought the NBA Finals intro with Kendrick Lamar, KDOT, was great. Had me just absolutely pumped before the game. And also, JaVale McGee's player facts on ABC included his ownership of a Sphinx cat. That was very cool. So a lot of cool moments happened away from the game as well, Isaac.
Well,
so
a lot of what went on off the court really dictated what went on the court as well. Because, yeah, of course, Tristan Thompson is, what, dating or wants to marry Khloe Kardashian. And the Kardashian curse is being brought up as a reason why he had such a bad game one. We'll see if that makes an impact on the rest of the series. But, yeah, it really had a finals aura surrounding this whole game, both in terms of excitement, star power. It's good to be back. It is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will have another edition of the Swap Meet with James Moore. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just want to, you know what, before we get to the swap meet, Isaac, I wanted to pose this question to you in the first segment. Totally forgot about it. Just a yes or no right now. And I knew this question was going to come up after game one of the finals if the Cavs had fallen. If Cleveland does not win an NBA championship this year, does LeBron stay in Cleveland?
Yes. I don't think he can leave now, just because then for his legacy, I do think that's a coup de grace, really.
Okay. Just think about that, folks. I'll get back to that later on if I have time, but just let it marinate. All right. The swap meet with James Moore. James Moore, of course, former MSU fullback, great for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. James brings a segment to us each and every Friday around this time entitled The Swap Meet, swapping out the negative energy with positive energy as James tackles various topics concerning today's youth and other societal problems that are pretty topical when it comes to today's sports news. This week, James came to me and said, you know what, Al, I want to tackle the whole Tiger Woods thing because I have an interesting take on it. And I think that a lot of people out there who are chastising Tiger Woods for his actions on Memorial Day morning need to, as I like to say, pump the brakes. And I tell you what, James Moore was very honest in this chat. And he revealed a little bit about his struggles from back in the day. It is now time for the swap meet.
Wow. Speaking with a purpose.
That's, you know, great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Hey, good afternoon. This is the Swap Meet. First of all, as usual, I want to thank WKAR and Al Martin for having the Swap Meet. And thank Lansing area and the Spartan Nation. First of all, I want to send out a shout out and a heads up, a kudos to LeBron James. I don't know if you guys realize that he had his house in California vandalized a little bit with some racial slurs. And I just want to give a shout out and say, hey, heads up, way to deal with it, way to hit it head on and let people know that racism still does alive, is still alive. And, you know, all you got to do is deal with it. And that's what he did. Okay. Now, second of all, I want to get to my main topic. I don't know, you know, if everybody understood and heard about Tiger Woods on Monday. Monday morning, he was arrested in Jupiter, Florida, under suspicion of driving under the influence in his Mercedes-Benz, and it apparently had some damage to his vehicle. The police officers found him sleep inside his vehicle. And after I watched the video, I had to really do some soul searching and thinking, because there was no... He took two alcohol tests, and he was clean. 0.0, no alcohol in his system. And then after I seen the video, I really, really said, he needs some help, because he's went through 4 back surgeries. His game was at the top of the charts. And now look where he's at. He's struggling. I say he needs help because I've been there before. I've never made the money that Tiger Woods made. Ha, wish I did, huh? Second of all, when I was playing football, I went through my struggles with drugs. And it took me a while. I've been clean now almost 17 years. And it's just phenomenal. Tiger needs some help. And I want to just send it out and let all the critics know. And that's calling him a villain. He's not a villain. He needs some help. He's sick. And I want to give a kudos to the PGA for what they're doing. They're standing by him. They want to give him some assistance. They want to get him some help. And they're backing him. So we send some kudos out to the PGA for backing him. With that being said, this whole segment is about making sure we make right choices, making sure we notice signs when things are going on, because that's what's happening with our kids. We're not being aware of the signs when they're starting. The Tiger Woods is different, but it's not different. All right? So with that being said, hey, let's have that discussion with Al.
My man, James Moore, that was very well put, first off, especially when you addressed, of course, LeBron James. That's something that we did not get a chance to tackle on this week's Current Sports, but LeBron coming out and addressing the front gates of his home getting vandalized with one of the probably the most hated word in the dictionary. And LeBron has always been an upstanding individual and has always done great things in his community and talked about the inequality when it comes to African-Americans here in America. So LeBron James, yeah, hats off to LeBron James, because I thought his words were very honest, very real, and in your face. And that's who LeBron is. I love him for that. Now, going on to Tiger Woods. First off, James, before I ask you a few questions concerning Tiger's situation, you revealed in that monologue that you yourself have had your very own battles with drugs. Can you elaborate on those a bit?
Yeah, I was smoking crack at one time, okay, for a long period of time. I mean, it went on for some years. You know, I felt like I was a functional addict when actually I was a dysfunctional addict, okay? And I battled. I was in denial for a long time. My family, my parents, you know, we did the round table. We did the in your face. We did the, you know, whatever we need to do to try to get me into rehab, you know? And it really just hit me one day when I had went out at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I had full custody of my daughter at the time, and she was 11. No, she was 10, 11 years old, and I left her in the house. I left her in the house at 1 o'clock in the morning to go pick up some stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I pull up, do what I have to do, and the police pulled up behind me. I'm living in Grand Rapids at this time. Police pull up behind me, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm sweating bullets. Because I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to go to jail. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm out here on Franklin Street in Grand Rapids, you know. And for some reason, they pulled off and left. I drove home. I did what I wanted to do, you know, that night. And
so did you
woke up the next morning? Mm. Woke up the next morning, feeling so convicted. Mm-hmm. Thought about my life. My job, my daughter. If I would have got pulled over, I would have caught a case. I would have been in jail. I would have lost custody of my daughter. That was my rehab. I woke up. Everything flashed through my head. I broke all my stems. I broke everything. I've never touched it since. You hear me? That's God working. Because, you know, I haven't really... This is the first time that I'm airing this to the public like I'm doing, because it's real. It's real, you know, but everybody can't do it that way. Everybody can't do it that way, you know. Like I said, I was touched. I was blessed, you know. Like I said, God had me in his hands the whole time, and I knew this. I was, you know, trying to do the right thing. I was going to church. I was, you know, thought I was living right. But then again, we live one way in the open, and then behind closed doors, we do other things. One thing we got to do is, like we do on the swap meet, just keep it real. And I'm laying this out here because, hey, I'm not perfect. There's no perfect person out there. We all go through our trials and tribulations. The key is, when we know that they're there, we have to put them on the front street and deal with them.
We appreciate your honesty there, James. And I think that in telling your story just now, who knows how many people you just helped just now, James. So we really appreciate you sharing that on Current Sports. How did it start, and how many years did you battle with that drug addiction?
Well, you know, I battled with it for, okay, I stopped playing football in 89. I battled with it for almost 10, 12 years.
Started in 89?
It started after I stopped playing football.
After you stopped
90,
playing football, okay.
Which is my last year was 89.
Gotcha.
And I battled with it. Don't get me wrong. I was working. And that's the killer part, because I felt so hypocritical. You know what I'm saying? I was working in the school district. I was working with kids. I was coaching. You know what? But I've learned, you know, this is what I was doing while I was doing it. I was preaching one thing and doing another thing. But we live and we learn from our mistakes. And it really made me the better person. The better man, the better coach, the better father.
Because I share that with my kids. I share that with, you know, I share that with a lot of different people in confidence to let them know that we've all battled. We've all been through storms. The storms are going to come. The storms are going to come, definitely. The key is, how are you going to respond to them when they come?
You mentioned how your family had multiple interventions with you to sit down and talk about what was going on to get you back on the right track, James. And I think that is an important thing when discussing the whole Tiger Woods situation. This is a man who is struggling right now, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, more and more details are steadily coming out in the coming days concerning Tiger and what specifically was in his system. We all know the dude has struggled since Thanksgiving week of 2009. That's when everything hit the fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's taken some kind of drugs that led to the situation earlier this week on Memorial Day morning out in Jupiter, Florida, asleep at the wheel, not intoxicated on alcohol, but some other kind of substance. And we've seen Jack Nicklaus come out and voice support. We've seen John Daly come out and voice support. And I think the important message that you're trying to hammer down, James, is that we don't cast out people when they are struggling. That is the moment where we open up our arms and bring them in and trying to find help, right? And I think that's an important part of this whole thing as well, right?
Very much so, because, and like I said, I give the utmost respect to the PGA. I read a little clip and Nicholson stating, we are going to back Tiger. We are going to be there for him. And that's what it's about, because that's what he needs. That's exactly what he needs. He's not a villain. He's a human being. He's Tiger Woods, yes. So they have put him on this pedestal, which they do with a lot of athletes. Put him on that pedestal. But guess what, though? They don't need to be on that pedestal when they're going through what he's going through right now, because it's going to be a long haul, especially with this back, the four back surgery he's had.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, he's got to take some type of pain medication. My mother went through back surgery years ago, okay? So I understand the back surgery situation. He's went through four of them, okay? And it's hard being the athlete that he was. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people don't understand in this. It's mind-boggling to me, okay? When you're an athlete, and you're at the top of your game, can you imagine when you can't perform like you want to, when you're a competitor? That's devastating. Don't get me wrong. We have to learn how to deal with it as athletes, which I have, but it took me my little span to realize, okay, nah, this is not how you deal with it. This is how you deal with it. A lot of people don't understand. Athletes get put on that pedestal, and it's...
because most have never been through it. 99.9% of the people on this earth would never know what it's like to experience that kind of success, exactly. The success that Tiger Woods had.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean,
right.
I can't relate to it. I don't even understand it, okay?
Right. Of course.
But I understand where I was at, right, when I was at college, and... you know, I'm the man. I'm James Moore.
And there's pressure to stay on top.
Exactly. And there's pressure, and people, all eyes on you. I'm glad social media is not out now. I mean, wasn't out then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you see what our athletes are going through right now. Not just our athletes, our kids. I mean, I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 year olds. I see 5, 6, 7 year olds working the phone, 3 year olds. Working, tapping, swiping.
Snapchatting, yeah. Everything, yeah.
I mean, and all I'm saying is that, you know, we have to be aware of what's going on with our kids, not with our young adults. We just have to be aware, because it's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world that can destroy them if we don't get a grip of it.
Tiger Woods is certainly an example of that. Wishing Tiger well, though. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time. He's the reason why I play golf, and the reason why countless of us African Americans even picked up a golf club in the first place.
I know that.
In the late 90s, early 2000s,
that fist pump, baby.
I'm telling you, man. Red polo on Sundays, the I want to beat you and stomp on your throat mentality. Tiger Woods was at one time the most popular athlete in the world. So we're wishing Tiger well. And again, another thing, and this is a point I hammered home when we talked about this earlier this week, James. At the same time, Tiger has to accept responsibility as well.
And you know what, though? That's the first step. That's the first step. 12-step program. First step is admitting there's a problem.
Right.
Admitting there's a problem. Because after you admit there's a problem, then you can deal with it.
Then you can deal with it and figure out how to fix it, right?
You know what? So one step, one day at a time. One day at a time.
James, this might have been our best swap meet we've had. I have to say that, my man. Outstanding job. Remind people how they can get in touch with you.
Hey, SpartanJMoore@gmail.com. Or you can hit Al up at
Facebook.com/currentsports. James, thank you so much for your time. Have a good weekend, dude.
Hey, you too. Have a good one now.
Thanks so much, yep. James. James Moore, another edition of the Swap Meet in the books. Wow. Was that revealing on what? James Moore opening up about his battle with cocaine addiction in the early 90s. If you missed it, well, we, of course, post each and every Current Sports show after it airs around 3 o'clock on WKAR.org. When we come back, we have under 10 minutes left here in the show. We will hit you with Reflection Friday, and we have breaking news concerning two former Michigan State football players in the NFL. We'll bring that news to you and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It is Friday, and we have just under 10 minutes left in the show. We love to bring you a segment entitled Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, bringing you some of our favorite moments, interviews, segments, and also may even bring up a few stories that we did not get the chance to highlight. Time to reflect a bit with Reflection Friday. All right, you know what, Isaac? One of the big stories that we highlighted at the very beginning of the week, I believe on Tuesday, I believe that was on Tuesday's show, Tuesday or Wednesday show, Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press bringing up a story, and reporting on a story, I should say, of a certain MSU football player's past. That being Keith Mumphrey, who is a wide receiver for the Houston Texans. And Mumphrey being accused of alleged sexual assault during his time at Michigan State. And the university, he was not charged legally, but the university decided there was enough there to expel him from the university until, what, January 1st of 2019. Well, news has come through since that story broke. And get this. The Texans, who drafted Mumphrey in the fifth round of the 2015 draft, they have now waived Mumphrey. He had 24 catches, 198 yards, also spent time as a returner in 27 games for Houston. Keith Mumphrey, no longer a member of the Houston Texans now. Also, the Texans waived linebacker Max Bulla, who was a teammate of Mumphrey's right here in East Lansing for Michigan State University. Bulla, we highlighted a few weeks back how Max Bulla was found to have performance-enhancing drugs in his system and was going to be suspended for the first four games of this upcoming year. The Texans had decided to, you know what, we don't even need the headache right now. We're washing our hands of this. I see that the report, Isaac, came from, as you told me during that break, Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle. Reaction?
I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse. I just want to reinforce, I guess, to Spartan fans that this is not normal. Not every program is going through this. So I do think it's a systemic cultural problem with the football team, as we've mentioned. And as more and more news comes out, seems like that point's validated more and more.
All right, well, I want to end on a lighter note here. I told you how Rihanna was a part of the broadcast multiple times last night. Can we have Jeff Van Gundy? Can we play him just getting enthralled by the beauty of Rihanna during the broadcast last night?
Pass inside. Tristan Thompson finds James. A lot of thunderous dunks here in the opening period.
I don't know about this, but Rihanna just walked in front of me. Are you kidding me?
What are you doing, man?
Stay with the game.
LeBron makes a spectacular play like this, and that's what you deal with?
Yeah. What a play.
Oh, boy, I feel you, Jeff. She is one of my biggest crushes next to Jennifer Lopez. I love Rihanna, I tell you. All right. Also, Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets last night, NBA playoff edition. Check it out.
One day, Klay Thompson is going to leave the house without remembering to attach his goatee that he bought from Party City, and it will be awkward.
Andre Iguodala has the worst body language of anyone in the NBA. If he got a dollar for every dirty look he made, he'd have another 80 million.
Have you ever been downloading something online and halfway through it just froze and couldn't go anywhere? Think Steph Curry's puberty.
I have nothing for that. That's good.
I absolutely love anytime Kimmel has the mean tweets. There was one even with Magic Johnson and Walt Frazier last night. That was really, really cool. If you missed it, check it out. Isaac, favorite moment of the week, brother?
Favorite moment? It would have to be, even though it was a disappointing game, the start of the NBA Finals again. I mean, it just returns this aura of relevance to the NBA. I want to reflect on how bad of a playoffs it's been so far, and it still has the potential to go down. As you and I talked about last night, Al, the worst playoffs of all time if Cleveland can't turn this around. But the thing is, the NBA Finals are back. I do still think this will be competitive, and it's nice seeing the superstars finally battling it out instead of Patty Mills versus Steph Curry. Come on now.
Yeah, you can say that again, right? And for me, it has to be the Lansing Community College baseball team. We had Andrew Heward on the show to talk about their remarkable run, sadly, which came to an end last night. But what a year for the Stars. And also James Moore today opening up about his drug addiction to cocaine in the early 90s. We appreciate the honesty, James. And it always takes a lot to reveal that much about yourself. And James, I'm sure, helped out a lot of our listeners out there when it comes to dealing with struggles, everyday struggles, and even deeper struggles than that in this crazy thing we call life. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday, folks. Enjoy the fantastic weather all weekend in Mid-Michigan. Be safe. And yeah, you know what's next. Be easy, people.